So, Act 5 is really interesting, and I separate it into the three parts, okay? Separate it into three parts, and we will not read it the whole thing. You can read it at the home, but I will just pick few verses. But this chapter is really about essential. It's about the church. This is how the church should look like. There is a three aspects we will focus. You know, of course, church really doesn't exist in the way of church. Actually, the word church in our English Bibles or Slovak Bibles is first used, actually in English, I'm not sure about Slovaks, but it is used in Acts 5. Before, they don't use the word church. But the church, what we know as today, as a church, is not really the word they were using that day. They were using the word ecclesiastic, or ecclesias, or ecclesiastic. And it means fellowship. Thank you. It means fellowship. It means when people gather together. It's not really a building. It's not really a place. It's not really a somebody's church. It's a fellowship. It's the word ecclesiastic from Greek, you can translate it to fellowship. So this is the first time when it's used in this form, what Luke wrote, the book of Acts of the first church, what we know, and we're looking back at that book as a, okay, this is a chapter how the church should look like. So let's look at the three aspects of the church. Let's look at the three parts what the every church should have, okay? And if you know what is in chapter 5, you are wondering how I will use Ananias and his wife was who? Sapphira. Yes, I forget it. You will see how I can use this, because who know that story? It's not a really happy story, right? It's not really a like exciting story you want to see Sunday morning, or not just here, but imagine that you experience this. Okay, but look at this. This is actually and one more insight. The chapters how we know it today, they didn't exist where Luke was writing the Acts. He was writing it as a book. The whole chapters in the Bible actually was much years later when they were creating Bible. They were separating them so it will be to the verses and the chapters, so it will be easier for us to read it. So actually the first part of the Acts 5, it's coming from the chapter 4. Because in chapter, so I need to start with chapter 4. And chapter 4 is that it's written there that the church is having everything together and sharing everything and living in this community where they were sharing everything. Some people were even bringing their clothes, their stuff. Some of them even go so high that they sell their poverty, their houses, their whatever, fields, lands, and they bring the money to the apostles. And one of those guys was Barnabas. And he probably gained respect, you know, because people saw him. And Luke actually record this in Acts that Barnabas brought a money for his land, for his field. So this must be really interesting if somebody coming this Sunday morning and will bring Gary, you know, €1 million. And put it here in the ground and say, I sold all my fields and the grounds I have, land I have in Slovakia, and this is here for church. It's for us. It's not for me, it's not for you, it's for us. This will be really interesting if we will see somebody like that. Some of us will have that feeling like, hey, maybe I wanna that respect. I wanna hear that thank you from the pastor. I wanna see that eyes of people looking at me and saying like, wow, this man is man of faith. This guy is believing God. This guy believing what Jesus was speaking. This guy believing what the apostles is preaching. Oh. Yeah. He's used to it. Don't worry. Don't do that at home, but we train for this at home. Sapphira and Ananias, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing right those two names. Ananias or Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira. Those two guys were seeing Barnabas, that he brought his money for his field, and they probably got excited and said, like, let's do the same thing. But they were probably lacking somewhere, lacking their faith. They wasn't really decided, you know, but they both agree they will keep some of the money. And this is written in chapter 5 already. And Barnabas decided that he will bring money to apostles, but his wife was agree that they will kept some of the money for themselves. So he... Oh, Barnabas. Ananias, or whatever his name is. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. And so he brought it in front of Peter. And Peter is saying, maybe you have it here. Peter is saying, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back for yourself part of the proceeds from the sale of the land? Before it was sold, did it not belong to you? And when it was sold, was the money not at your disposal? How have you thought up this deed in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God. And this guy just dropped to the ground and took his last breath. I mean, some of us, when we heard this story first time, or when I heard it from story, I was like, man, that Peter was mean. I mean, he was mean. He killed that guy. But when you're reading it, Peter never did anything to kill that guy. Peter never did anything to judge that guy. He confront him, as we should do in a church. But he never judged him. He never called that judgment. Hey, you will die, God. You will die. Ananias, you will die. No, he never said that. Or at least we don't know about it. We don't know what happened. Maybe it was heart attack. But we know that it was work of God, as Luke recorded. So the God called the judgment. And this, for many people, this became really harsh. But, and for us, we're living in a, we don't live in a same era. We live in different era. You know, we all sin. We all coming to God. We all telling God, you know, today we were singing, all we do, we sing for you. All we, you know, all of our life, we live for you. But in reality, Monday, Wednesday, you know, we made mistake. And we are really glad that we are not falling dead at the church when we're coming to God and singing this song. But if the same applying to us many times, when we sing like song like that with all our hearts, but in reality, you know, there is some issues. So the first part of the church, or first thing what the church need to focus, or the essence of the church, is the attitude of the things what we do in everything. And this is really hard thing, because we look at God in Acts 5, and we look at that and we think, like, you know, God, you know, he you know, it was too much, God, you know, you are not playing with Ananias, with Sapphira, you know, why are you so harsh, why are you so mean to them? But this is not up to us to say. But we can say, we can read in Luke that they have a problem with the attitude. How about your attitude? How about my attitude? In the things I do for God. Why we do things? Do we really sing for Jesus? Do we really do mission for Jesus? Do we really pray? You know, do we really put money into offering just because we want to give it to God? I mean, I'm not judging you. I'm not pointing finger on you. I'm just asking questions. These are all things I mentioned I did wrong before. And I'm doing wrong many times. You know, we all do mistakes. We all, you know, I grew up at the church. You know, it was cool. If you have money to put money into offering, so your friends see you, that you're putting money into the box. You know, I'm not saying that I'm doing it today the same way. But, you know, in some part of my life, I did it. You know, where is your attitude? Are you really have fear to God? Are you really know what type of God we believe? I know that this is for whole another sermon about fear of God, because it's written later on. Paul is saying that the pure love is chasing the fear, and the God is love. You know, it's in that context. But this is a different type of fear. This is more than respect, and maybe somewhere near to fear, but it's a different. But that's for another sermon. So I'm not going into this. But we need to understand that God is huge, is big. There is no words to describe Him, and I can just speak the whole next 2 hours or whole day or whole week about how great is God, how big is God, how amazing God, and what He did in my life and our lives and this world life and everything. So do we understand when we're coming and singing and coming to church, do we really understand that is our heart really ready and understanding that our God have power and strength to take our lives immediately? You know, He is merciful to us. And we don't know how He dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. Nobody ever said that they end up in a hell. And I'm not going into it. But there was a judgment call in that day. And we can be grateful that in our lives, God didn't call that judgment. Because we did the same thing what Ananias and Sapphira did. Maybe not today. Maybe not this year. But in the past, we did. If we didn't, we will do. Because we are sinful. And we're living under the mercy and the grace of our Father, God. And we can learn from this. You know, but one more thing about the attitude. One more thing about this essence, this huge part of church life that we need to be, first of all, we need to be honest to each other, honest to ourselves, and honest to God. Our attitude needs to be shown. But sometimes like we were talking just before about the cultures and about the, you know, Slovak culture and, you know, what is bad and what is good. Everything, every coin has a two sides. And sometimes when we do things for God, there is these words, there is these voices. I don't know if you hear the voices, but I have a voices. Not every time, but sometimes. I hear the voices, and they're coming to me, and they say, "Hey, you know, what are you doing? Why are you lifting your hand in worship? Why you do this? Why are you putting money into offering? It's your, you know." And this question, I believe, they didn't coming from Holy Spirit. You know, devil is jerk. Devil is not the liar who coming to deceive us through the satanic metal music or through the pornography. Yes, he's using that also. But he is better liar than that. He's coming through us with the word of God, as he did to Jesus when he was at the desert. You know, he's not coming. You know, when you're fasting, you will end up, you know, you're fasting, and in some day you will be like, oh, maybe this is all not worthy because I'm not spending that much time with God, and maybe I'm doing this with wrong attitude. And then you go praying, or you go to church, and you will hear this voice that like, why are you going to church? Just meet your friends, just hang out, or are you really going to worship God? I believe that these questions we hear are not questioning our attitude from Holy Spirit, but this is a devil who tried to deceive us. Because what Christians many times do, they agree what Satan is whispering them. You know, we give up when we're fasting. We give up when we don't go to church because we feel we are not worthy. Because we think that our attitude is to come there and to just hang out with friends. You know, so there is a two sides of this. It's not only that of course we need to question our attitude, but in the other part we can't let devil whisper us lies. And we can't agree on that with him, as we do many times. So we need to balance this. I think Gandhi once said that life is like a riding bike. You can't go left, you can't go right, you need to be straight, you need to keep the balance. And that's the life. And Christian life is the same thing. We need to keep balance. We need to check our attitude, but do not let devil to check our attitude. You know, so if you do something for God, if you're coming to church, keep coming. Be honest with God. You know, when I fast, I pray to God. I'm questioning myself. What is my purpose? Why I'm fasting? What, God? You know why? Look, is this worthy? And then in the one moment, I said, God, maybe my attitude's wrong. And if my attitude's wrong, forgive me. But I don't want my attitude to be wrong. And that's it. I believe that's it. I believe God coming in. My son came with the same thing. Hey, Dad, I don't know if I'm doing this right. But correct me if I do this right. If I'm not doing this right. But if I do this right, then I'm doing it for you. If my son tell me this, whatever he messed up, I will be okay with it. Because I know his attitude. This is what attitude we need to have in a church. So the first thing is attitude towards God, but not let devil to tell us about our attitude. So the second part, and it started at the verse 12, and it said, and now many miracles and signs and wonders came about among them, the people through the hands of the apostles. By common consent, they were all meeting together at the Solomon portico. The miracles, signs and wonders. Do they belong to church? Yes. Of course, we are not seeing all bunch of people raising from dead. Maybe you're praying for your relatives who is not saved, and you're praying for years. It doesn't mean that God is not doing miracles. You know, when God spoke to me at the mission field, because I tell you the truth, I was lost. I end up at the mission field and I don't know what to do. Okay, this was my dream come true. Now what to do? So I went on knees and God spoke to me. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. Not Paul saying, and I will paraphrase this, not in the arguments, not bringing gospel through the arguments, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I was questioning myself. I'm not really a preacher who come to you and put your hands on you and you will be healed from your sickness, and I cannot breathe there, and you will all fall down. And I, you know, some of the people have these blessings and have this ministry of doing this, and I'm not that type of person. So I was wondering how I will, should I go to hospital and try to pray for people? Should I just stopping Native Americans at the street and praying for them? How will I show the power of God when it's power of God, it's not my power. It will be not worth it to go to gym and get really strong. It will not help. So God spoke to me. And he says, Galatians 5, fruits of the Spirit. How can God show power at your job, at your school, at your home? Through the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are not yours. Fruits of the Spirit coming from the Spirit. It's by the name. And they coming through and remind ourselves what they are. Love, patience, gentleness, and continue. Peace, joy, humble, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Are these things what we mentioned right now? Miracles when they show up in a situation of our work when everybody nervous, stressing, and you are like walking. Not because he's sleepy, not because you got too much coffee, but because there is a Spirit of God in you. When everybody don't know what to do. And I'm not saying that we're finding ourselves every day in this situation, but this is the power of God what can be shown through us. This is the power. Of course, we're reading in a first church, in Acts 5, we see about the people who were dragging their sick people on the street so Peter's shadow can touch them and they will be healed. Okay, this is a different level. And I believe that it can happen today also. But when it's starting, and it's starting through the fruit of the Spirit. It's starting when we let God use us for showing His glory everywhere we are. Through the fruits of the Spirit. Miracles and wonders can happen in your job. When you will be gentle. When you will be kind to some of your colleagues. When you will have a patience with somebody who nobody has patience with. When you will have a peace. When there is a huge storm and tornadoes going around the workplace. This is the work of God. This is the miracles of everyday life of Christian. And the third part of the Acts 5 is persecution. Suffering. You know, from beginning, this was the essence of the church. Persecution. In Slovakia, we're not really persecuted for Christianity. Guys with the darker skin, you might be persecuted for dark skin in some levels of some hooligans or whatever. But for our Christianity, we're not really persecuted. There is no law. Contrary, we are supposed to be a Christian nation. You can go and you can shout from the roofs, from the streets, from the fields. I believe in Jesus. People will think that you are crazy, but maybe. But sometimes we are persecuted in our work. Sometimes you are looked down. Sometimes you look like, oh, you're some spiritual weird guy. You know, I have my circles of, you know, I believe that every Christian should have their circle of non-Christian friends. I play hockey twice a week. So I meet with this guy, you know, in a locker room. You know, we all talk about life. You know, they all know me about Christian, and without me saying that, they were reading it in the newspaper. So so I was not giving chance really, you know, to share, but they knew. So they asked me, oh, you missionary, what you were doing? Saving natives? You know, and there were these little jokes, you know, ha 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 ha, you know. Or when they start speaking about something spiritual, something not spiritual, but something like church. They always look at me. Oh, what do you think about, well, misusing kids in a church? You know, Roman, what do you think about that? Nah, they're not saying that I'm doing anything, but you know, it's personal. But this is a place where again can be shown God's glory. Again, it can be seen miracles and wonders. As we're reading in Acts 5, apostles were took to a prison. Angel visit them and tell, let's go. These doors are nothing. I got keys or whatever he did. Angels took them out of prison and tell them, go back to synagogue. Go back to the place where you were preaching and start preaching again. So next morning, the Pharisees and everybody who took the guys in the prison, they were meeting together like, what we will do with them? Oh, bring them to the court. Bring them to the court. So some guards went to the prison. The apostles were not there. So they were going crazy. Like, you know, imagine that. You're responsible guy. Whoa. And some other people came and they say, these people preaching again. So they come to them and they were going there, but they were afraid to do anything because people, the crowds were listening to them. So they started in this disagreement, you know, and this is religious people. So they're speaking about God. This is not, you know, non-believers. This is a people who have maybe have some experience, but at least some religious experience with Yahweh, with God of Israel. And Paul and Peter, he's saying really, really boldly, you know, after we don't know when Angel came to the prison. Maybe they were there 6 hours, 10 hours, we don't know. Maybe he take them out at 6 o'clock in the morning, maybe at 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. Maybe at midnight. So you get out of the prison, Angel of God tell you to go preach again. Now you're preaching again, you feel like, you know, untouchable. Now everybody's coming, they're going to, you know, stoned you or whatever, kill you because you make them mad, you run out from their prison. And Peter's like, yeah, we must obey God rather than people. I mean, I don't know if this is appropriate, but he got some balls. I mean, he was bold. He was not playing. Peter was not playing. It's the same Peter. You know why Peter was not playing? You know why people said that? We must obey first God. Because he was there when God put down Ananias and Sapphira. He was there. He understood. Peter, like from all people, Peter must understand in that moment that I'm not listening to any people. Because if people can kill me, then God can kill me also if I'm not obeying him. If I'm lying to God. So he has no chance. But also there is a huge boldness in it. A huge, you know, I don't know what I will say. To be honest. Persecution. You know, we are one of the few countries to have freedom. I don't know if you know, but there is over 3 million people, 3 billion people who never heard about Jesus. From 17,000 different ethnic groups around the world, not nations, ethnic groups, there is 7,000 ethnic groups who don't have their own church, who probably cannot have their own church because they live in a country or neighborhood what is totally against, what is 100% Muslim or 100% Buddhist or Hinduist or ethnic religion. Ethnic, not the, like animalism, you know. So these people, if they got saved, they cannot go to church. And there is just few of them. They are persecuted in every moment of their life. We're lucky, or we better use the other word in a church, blessed. We are blessed to being here. But we cannot forget on those people. And I tell you the truth. I don't know who were here in Slovakia before 89. But before 89, if you come and if you walk to church, they were alive. You know why they were alive? Because they were persecuted. People from this church, my father, my uncles, they were put in a prison. They walked 10 miles just to go to prayer meeting. Now we have a problem to drive a car for 10 minutes to go to prayer meeting. Church growing under pressure is not a punishment. It's the essence of the church. It's part of a God spreading gospel through the world. Because if apostles were not persecuted, they were probably still hiding somewhere. Or they will die. They will forget it. They will have no followers. But because of their boldness, because of their persecution, people were saying, you know, and historically, the historic books saying that if you know, there is some viscum. Sorry. There is some research, and the research is saying that if Jesus was fake, if apostles were making up that Jesus was raised from death, how come in 500 years this religion or these followers, there were thousands of them all over the Europe, even they were persecuted till 300. Okay, after that it became more acceptable, but for 300 years the Christians were persecuted. Lights, they were light up as the light, as a night lamp with the Nero in Rome. They were thrown up to lions. They were killed exemplarily in front of other people. They were not just cut heads. They were suffering. And there were still followers after followers after followers who were ready to die for Jesus. If Jesus was fake, why they did it? Why from 11 disciples, because we have this one guy, Judah, why 10 from 11 die as a martyrs? You know, if the Jesus was fake, what, they were too proud to admit it that Jesus was fake and Jesus never rise from that? And this research, there is a whole book about this, is that there is a fact about, like, you know, woman movement. You know, women was not allowed. Bible is said that the one who find the empty tomb, was woman's. Culturally, this was unacceptable. So if Jesus didn't rise from that, then they, you know, if this was all men thing, culturally this was not acceptable. In some countries is not acceptable today, so we know how it can be long time ago. Persecution is a part of a church. If you feel persecuted, feel blessed. Roman, you're right. Feel blessed. You know, let's read together how they felt. So they left the council rejoicing, because they had been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. For the name of the Jesus. So they left the council rejoicing. That's one thing. Because they had been considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. I mean, wow. Wow. Are we considered worthy when they laugh on us? When we feel like we are under pressure? There's not nobody questioning that somebody was going to kill us. But we just feel like dishonor. We just feel like, oh, they laugh on me. You know, I don't feel like dishonor many times. I don't feel like, you know, I'm not rejoicing. But it should be essence of our life. Something what we all can look. And I believe that Peter is in all this, one of the guys we can look back. He was there with Ananias. He saw a work of God. Then through him, and through others of course, but through the Peter, was happening miracles and wonders. So just his shadow touched somebody sick and they were healed. I mean, wow. Peter fulfilled the word of Jesus, "You will do mightier things than I did." I mean, through the shadows, really? And Peter was the one who was persecuted and said, "I'm here to obey God before any man." And Peter was there, leaving from the court, rejoicing. I mean, imagine Peter, maybe jumping, maybe just saying, "Yeah, I'm worthy." Because he understand. He saw Jesus suffer. He saw that he is worthy to call himself the disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not about rejoicing of suffering. I'm not telling about rejoicing when you are in pain. I'm talking rejoicing to be named, to using the name of Christian. Because you are follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus in John 14, 15, 17, 1 there, 16, 17, he wrote that you are not the servants anymore. You're adopted. You are sons and daughters to our Father in heaven. So we are not servants anymore. We are heirs with Jesus. Jesus is our older brother. Our best example. I never have older brother. I only have older sister. But I can imagine that if I have an older brother, I want to be like him. Maybe it's not true, those who have a big brother, but or big sister, you know, for women. But, you know, at least you do similar things as your brother. Because you see, you know, if he's treating your parents somehow and it's working, then you will do the same thing because you know it will be working. So we're using example of Jesus. It's the one who has the right attitude at the desert. Who was doing miracles and wonders through everyday life. Not only healing, but when he took Zacchaeus from a tree to go eat with him, the whole family was changed. The whole town was changed. And finally, when he was persecuted, but he knew that he is not on the losing side. He know that he is on the winning side with his Father. So when you suffer, rejoice. Because you are worthy of that name of Christian, of follower of Jesus Christ.